Moving ahead, let us look at the framework which is there for evaluation. Now, you have a model available which is the 10C model, right? And this is again, as I mentioned, this is a standard reference available to you. This was developed by Dr. Carter. Earlier, it was 7C, and then three more C's were added to make it more comprehensive, and it is now a 10C model for supplier evaluation. This is, I would say again, a base reference framework, and there are these 10C factors which are mentioned, and we can assess the vendor in terms of each factor, right? So let us look at each of these factors in a little brief, I would say. Starting with competency, that is the first C available. So, as we saw in the assessment criteria checklist as well, so competency is a key, I would say, factor, key C of the assessment. What you need to do here is check the level of competency of the vendor. You are basically trying to assess vendor capability with respect to what your organization needs, correct? Again, this talks of trying to check the evidence of whether there is a quality deliverable, right? As we discussed earlier, feedback from customers, getting reviews, right? So, competency of the vendor is competency, I would say, is the first C that Dr. Carter highlighted. Moving ahead, the second C, which is capacity, right? What we are doing here is you are assessing vendor capacity, whether he has the capacity to meet the entire load, short term, long term, right? That's the second C. Third C is his commitment to quality, whether your particular vendor considered under assessment, is he able to provide high quality output, and how is he going to maintain quality of services and performance required? This, as we touched upon, links to quality standards, whether he is ISO 9001 certified, uses Six Sigma or other quality, I would say, certifications. So this is the third aspect, which is commitment to quality. Let us look at fourth C, which is consistency of performance. Again, here we are checking the capability to deliver consistently, right? And consistently with a high level of quality, not with a deteriorating level of quality. So, against this parameter, you are trying to check the capability of the vendor in being able to consistently deliver high levels of quality output. This can, I would say, as mentioned here, a trial run or pilot can help you identify what kind of output is being available. Moving to the next C, which is cost. Now, cost is deliberately kept, I would say, not as number one, at number five by Dr. Carter, in, I would say, at the mid level, because you cannot just use cost as a comparison for choosing the vendor, right? You need to ensure that the cost is associated with your required delivery, right, and the required quality levels. And this cost should be compared with similar vendor offerings. And because cost is dependent on multiple factors, right? There you have a fixed component, variable component. The proposals can also be designed in different manners. So you need to ensure that you do a thorough comparison on a common baseline for different vendors. And as mentioned here, relying on cost alone can be disastrous, right? You can't just pick and choose the offering with the least cost. And this you may have observed in your daily life as well, right? You have products available, same product, difference in quality and difference in price, right? It's like you have the best fruit, let's take the example of apples, the best ones available at 250, Some soft ones available at 200, some with black spots 180. So based on the difference in quality, the cost will vary. And just picking up something which is like the least one, right, 150, you are definitely going to pick up something which is not as good as what the 251 is, right? So cost is definitely an important criteria because it links to the outgo, but it is not the sole criteria. Just remember that cost is a very critical or important C in this model. Cash and finance, again, you would want to check how the vendor standing is in terms of the financial health, profit and loss statements, your credit ratings, your balance sheet which shows the assets and liabilities. So a check against the cash and finance and financial health of the vendor is important. Moving ahead to the next C, as we saw, communication. Now communication, as we mentioned, one needs to assess whether the vendor is adequately geared, equipped with the tools required for communication. Does he have flexibility in communication, right? What are the channels that will be used? It is important to note also how or question the vendor in terms of how the communication is handled in crisis situations, right? So that's a key point that needs to be checked under communication. So these were the 7 C. Moving to the next C, the 8th one, which is control of internal processes. Here, as we discussed in detail earlier, you are doing a check on how the internal processes, policies are run in the organization, right? You are basically trying to see how the vendor is able to deliver services reliably and consistently, right? You are touching upon risk management, inventory, procurement, health and safety, right? Moving ahead, the next one is corporate social responsibility. As we discussed earlier, we are looking at the vendor's commitment to sustainability, right? How the vendor organization is aligned to green offerings, whether they have any green accolades, how they are at the environment footprint level, what is their level of commitment to corporate social responsibility. As I mentioned, this may not be a prime factor, but yes, it is an important factor in today's time, and organizations like to engage with vendors who are touching upon this as well in parallel with their business. Moving to the last C, which is culture. Again, this aligns more with the communication aspects as well, right? What are the, I would say, business or corporate culture in the organization? What kind of values are there, right? In terms of the resources, handling of the resources, what kind of business relationships are there? So this becomes an important C as well to touch upon in the assessment. So these were, I would say, Dr. Carter's 10 C, which is again a reference that one should use for the assessment, right? Let us now look at what the vendor selection process is, right? Now, the vendor selection process in a simple flowchart, you can see that it is broadly put under 5 stages, right? You have defining business requirements, searching for the vendor, developing the RFP, RFQ, evaluating proposals, and contract negotiation. Now, let us look at each of these in brief, right? Starting with analyzing or defining business requirements, right? Now, this is step 1 in the vendor selection process. So, what are you doing here in step 1? You are analyzing. So if I am an organization that is looking at outsourcing, what I am doing under this step is I am analyzing my business requirements. So if you remember chapter 1, analyze was the first pie of the entire circle. You are analyzing the business requirements, but since you are following this process, I would say diligently, what happens here is you document the requirements. After a detailed analysis, you document the requirements in terms of what is the business requirement, right? And since this is a larger engagement, it is always recommended that a core team is established who has the responsibility of doing the vendor selection. So this core team now needs to baseline a document which they will get approved from the senior management and use it for the entire process, right? So this is step one, where you define the and document as well the business requirements. Moving to step two, once you document the requirement, now the core team, it is the responsibility of the core team to compile a list of possible vendor candidates, right? The team will have to assess who all are the vendors or which vendors are available to deliver this, right? It's simple in today's terms, in terms of a lot of information being available on the internet. If you put a search, you will probably get a list of 20 vendors, right? But that's not the way to approach vendor search. One needs to pick up, do background checks, do some research, initial level of discussions as well. Talk with these guys in terms of confirming that yes, they are into that line of business. You may want to look at your peers, competitors, which kind of vendors they are engaging. You may want to check for peers of those vendors as well, right? So what the team needs to do here, as I mentioned earlier as well, you need to narrow down. Under this process, you need to narrow down to at least three, right? Or prospective four or max five. You cannot have 10 or 20 vendors in the offering here. You will have to narrow this to maximum, I would say five, maximum five. Five is also a little higher, but not beyond that, right? Now these five, four or five will be the ones with whom you will share the RFI. So what is an RFI? It's a request for information, right? You will share this document with these vendors and await a response from them. So this is step two, which is vendor search. Now coming to step three, now you completed assessment, documented, you chose, narrowed down to vendors, you gave an RFI. Now you need to develop a RFP or RFQ, right? It is a request for proposal or request for quotation, right? The team will have to draft their RFP, right? And they will ask for inputs from the vendors. Now, what should be constructed under this RFQ? It should have an executive. So these are again some guidelines. It can have a summary, it will have instructions of how you want the response to be done. You will have submission details, there will be certain specifications, terms and conditions. But this document then becomes core for the vendor, at least for him to respond in a proper manner to the requirement. So step three, you have now developed the request for quotation. What will happen under step four? You will look for a evaluation of the response, right? And basis the response, you will probably select the vendor, right? You will need, the core team needs to build an evaluation sheet for all those four, five or three selected vendors. You will have to assign weightages to each of the responses and requirements. It will be a matrix, right? You will have the requirements on probably a column A, then horizontally you may have the vendors, and then you will have weightages for each vendors against each point, right? You will assign populate the evaluation sheet, and at the bottom you will total the weightages, right? So you may have five vendors, and based on the weightages you may have scorings, which will be like depends on what the weightages you are giving, 10 11 12 14 7 8, right? These weightages will help you immediately exclude or select certain certain vendors. For example, if some vendors are very low on a rating, now you are seeing that the average expectation weightage, you will have a tolerance band, right? For example, let us say you have 5 vendors, you have 10 criteria, and you expect a maximum weightage of 10 for each. So 100 is the I would say ideal scenario, right? Any vendor meeting 100 is the ideal vendor. You won't get 100 for any vendor, that's for sure, right? You will have some vendor who is low on any of the factor, right? So you will have somebody, a good vendor reaching 90, somebody doing 80. But if you see that a vendor has a total of 30 or 40, then you know that this vendor doesn't have the capability or there's some gross issue with the response. So that helps you eliminate. And then you will probably play around with the best two or three who are together. And this core committee should then articulate this, summarize and present it to the management for a decision. The core committee should not be indicating or I would say finalizing a single vendor just on the basis of vintage. As I mentioned, this is a framework. You may have different factors, you may have factors which are not part of your evaluation in terms of geography or assessment or other information available, right? But for sure, the core committee will need to tabulate, present it to the top management and take a decision. It will probably be after a good discussion, because factor of cost will also be covered there. Cost, generally people don't put it under weightage, or some may put it also in terms of trying to have bands, giving weightages for A, B, C band, right? So as I mentioned, the top management, the decision making will be in consideration with the CFOs, because you have an outgo now, right? This engagement will need, I would say, finance to sustain the relationship. So cost can become a factor of, I would say, decision making, provided the vendor is at least doing good in all the other criteria, right? You don't want to just look at the cost, right? Otherwise, you may land up with poor quality, correct? So the top management may have, I would say, different reasonings to take a decision. But the core committee's job is to bring it to a stage where they present the working and summarization to the management. Now, step 5 is, once that decision is taken, then you do a contract negotiation. What you are doing here is, you are finally, so you have a decision, right? You have out of the 5 selected vendor A. And then you have the contract team or the procurement team negotiating with the vendor to see, or I would say, get the best price, quality or terms, right? This particular, I would say, step is more of going to the next level with the identified vendor. Here you are into more intense discussions. You will reaffirm, reassure that vendor has understood your requirement, vendor is able to deliver, he is committed to quality, he is clear on the price. You can even ask for a pilot run or a proof of concept, right? So this is where you conclude the contract negotiation. So here the vendor selection process ends at contract negotiation, right? So now you started with the assessment. You had a framework 10C available for reference. You have seen a vendor selection process also. So you are equipped with the vendor. Let us, before closing the chapter, let us quickly touch upon some common mistakes that are made in the vendor engagement. So the first one is choosing the wrong market, right? Choice of a vendor, as I mentioned, should not be based on the current communication or information about the vendor ongoing, right? It should follow the vendor assessment process diligently, right? You should never choose a vendor based on gut feel or a market trend, right? You have so many firms which are coming up short term, but they don't live long as well, right? So going by the current market, I would say, standing, that's or a gut feel, yes, this is a good vendor, that should be avoided. You should refrain from choosing the wrong market, right? And if there is a challenge in doing a vendor assessment by the organization, you should go ahead and engage a third party to do the assessment, right? the money spent there is worth it because you will for sure need the engagement for a longer time, and one needs to ensure that the right vendor is chosen. So this is the first mistake that a person can do, choosing the wrong market, going by gut feel. Next is, as we discussed multiple times, going for lowest cost. Cost cannot be the only criteria, right? That can be, as I mentioned, disastrous, and one should clearly assess the cost offering in terms of the deliverables and the quality requirements. You should have the right services accurately reflecting the scope. Don't go for a vendor who is just quoting the lowest cost. Next is missing the importance of culture and values. Now, this outsourcing engagement is critical, right? It is happening across geography. It is very important that both the organizations align together in terms of culture, communication, engagement, right? It is, if the engagement happens, it is recommended that the vendor team, key team, spends some time with the customer organization, get a sense of ways of working, how the comms are, how the decision discussions are happening. So culture is an important aspect, right, in this engagement. Next is not explaining or aligning your performance expectations. Now, this can again be disastrous if you are not clear in terms of what you expect, right? The performance expectations should be clarified, and there should be free and open fact-based discussions, right? The vendor recommendations has to be based on their experience. It cannot be like you assume or presume or take for granted that the vendor will be able to deliver at a certain level of expectation. You need to ensure that you are vocal on the requirement, right? That's a common mistake, number four. And the next one is avoiding site visit and interaction with floor agents, right? So as I mentioned, these for the customer, right? It is essential that the ways of working at the vendor organization are understood, right? Because this is remote and geographically distant, the customer should have a good idea about how the work, day-to-day work happens, right? Now, this is important, and this can be addressed by doing a site visit, right? And doing a floor walks where the operations are generally checking on the quality, the work culture, right? But this is important to get a feel of how the team is delivering the outcome, I would say. And here you will also see that vendors generally support multiple customers. You would want to get a feel and understand how the customer bifurcation is done. Are there common teams, or are there common support teams? Are there different bays or different rooms available? So all these give, I would say, comfort to the engagement in terms of daily deliverables. So avoiding a site visit can be a big mistake if it is especially a larger engagement. So these were some of the common mistakes that one does in vendor engagement. I am sure you have got a good idea of how the vendor assessment and engagement can happen. The next one on the mistake is not asking for recommendation, right? The vendor will for sure never say that they have a gap or they are low at a particular deliverable, right? He will be skilled, experienced, but you should be asking for recommendations from the vendor based on their understanding. What we are doing here is, let me come down to a simple example. I, as an organization, am outsourcing a process to a vendor. I have been running this process for long, successful, no issues. I have assessed a vendor who is able to give quality service, and I have engaged him, right? Now, the vendor also has an experience of running similar process. he may be having that experience in multiple industries and may have understanding on the process where he can share his inputs out of his experience. We should not be ignorant about such inputs. One should always assess what the vendor wants to bring to the table. It is our choice not to take forward that recommendation. But for sure, his assessment on the task and inputs should be heard about and assessed, right? They should not be ignored. So this is again a common mistake that people do, organizations do. Just because they're running the process successfully, they feel that particular process cannot have an improvement. That's wrong. Right? Times have changed. Vendors, they stand an advantage based on their interaction with multiple clients, customers, and are, I would say, probably have a capability or a level where they have seen a difference in working of processes and want to recommend. Those should be, I would say, heard, right? So this mistake is about not asking vendor for recommendations, right? Undervaluing certifications, again, is again, I would say, more to do with how keen or I would say comfortable you are in terms of trying to assess the capability in terms of standardizing in the industry, right? As I mentioned earlier, you have industry-specific certifications that can be checked as part of your assessment whether the vendor is ABC compliant, right? One should not undervalue certification, right? For example, if a vendor is investing in carrying out a PCI assessment and getting a PCI DSS certification, or if he is doing a security assessment and getting a SOC 2 assessment certification for his organization, it means that they have put in required effort and are also sensitive, and that particular topic is important for them, right? So one should not undervalue certifications done by the vendor. They should be taken into consideration. Lack of due diligence. Again, as we touched upon trying to engage a vendor on gut feel or market, right? That should be avoided in any case, and due diligence should be pursued in a timely manner, right? You should be sure of the diligence to be carried out, right, in assessing the vendor. As I mentioned, this is a long-term engagement. You are handling over your process, data, company information, output, which is linked directly to your credibility to a vendor. Don't do it just, I would say, by gut feel. Carry out a full due diligence, get feedback, right, and ensure that you are confidently going ahead with a decision. So one should not avoid doing due diligence. An important point here, which is again a common mistake in terms of vendor engagement, is where you don't include the or clarify the exit strategy, right? We are looking at the positive side of things. We are for sure wanting to engage with the vendor and get into a business relationship, right? But what if things don't work out, right? There is a small chance that there may be issues in terms of how the engagement goes down the line, in terms of force majeure issues at vendor end or financial issues. There can be n reasons where there will be a need to exit the relationship. How is the exit relationship defined, right, or discussed, right? One should ensure that there is an exit strategy understanding with the vendor. You may have a need. It can be a change in business as well, right? You may want to strategically change your line of business and may not need that vendor, but may need a different vendor, right? So the exit strategy needs to be discussed and agreed, and this can help get the process back to your organization if needed, or transition to another vendor, right? So definitely defining an exit strategy is important, and lack of exit strategy is another common mistake that most of the organizations, I would say, oversee, right? So in summary, we have seen that selecting the right vendor is critical to the engagement, right? We have seen frameworks, checklists available which can help us, I would say, firm up the process, help support your decisions, right? And getting the right vendor will help you run smooth operations and allow the business to run smoothly for a longer time. Thank you.